P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Cooley.
It's fun to have some fun.
Tommy,
it's a tape thing.
Whoever she is, I'm going to find her and I'm going to hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish.
I'm always home. I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Need a little bit of water.
Hey, Hoff fans. Welcome to P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm still Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm still Kyle Reintried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk all things Philip Seymour Hoffman and beyond. Kyle, how you been?
I've been doing pretty well. Summer is over. Is it technically over? I don't know how solstice works and all of that.
It should be around when this podcast is released, so yeah. I think summer might be still going on, but
you know,
it's for all intents and purposes, exactly.
Because school is in session for you.
Yes, school's in session. High school slumber party, that's for sure.
Yeah, everyone's always eating though, so that's I don't have any. Not that you took a break because of the summer, but it was just a little change up, a little different vibe out there.
The Godfather of the Cage Club Podcast Network convinced me not to do this, but sometimes I regret. Not taking every summer as an off chance because I have the perfect podcast for it to like have a break.
Yeah.
You know, and
even Conan O'Brien took a break and he's been deemed like, and I know so many, of us podcasters, not me, cause I love him, but like we're offended that he was dubbed like, there was some article that was like said to be like, he's, you know, is he like a savior of podcasts or something like that?
And that bothers me a little bit because look, Conan's amazing. Like he's not like he didn't come up in the podcasting scene. I know that sounds hipster.
No, exactly.
However, he's great at it. But I know that doesn't surprise you. That shouldn't surprise anyone. Like his show is essentially a podcast. Like the way he interviews people is a podcast. So, like the Conan podcast, great. I know you turned me on to it. Not that I didn't know who Conan was, but yeah. I love that show. That's for sure. We don't take breaks, though, on P.S. I Love Hoffman. We took a little break, I guess, but we couldn't quit him. We couldn't quit our main man.
No, that was the whole thing. We were just like, I mean, we missed doing a podcast together, but I mean, specifically watching, well, you can always watch the films, but talking about these amazing films and just talking with you Hoff fans out there, which is always a delight having you guys comment and just being involved and just feeling even more involved with you guys voting on the, you know, to what film we're going to watch and talk and everything.
And at the end of this episode, we'll announce the winner of our, I can't believe I'm saying this, October 1st episode.
October. Halloween. Spooky. Yes.
Again, Halloween, October is one of the weird things because Halloween is literally the last day of October, but we consider October like the Halloween month. but we'll talk more Halloween chat in our next mid-month series, because that'll be actually closer to Halloween.
True,
again,
very true.
We'll announce the vote at the end of this podcast, but, I mean, you're mentioning it, and I'm kind of thinking about it. I haven't been on your show, Foodie Films, in a while, and you haven't been on High School Slumber Party in a while, so we'll have to rectify that.
Definitely. That will be rectified. Rectified?
I know you had a whole series that I was a part of. Oh, we gotta do the Andy Kaufman, My Breakfast at Blassie one for your series.
Yes, we need to continue the My Dinner series, and then also we have a special treat I think for Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for this one. This might be of all podcasts I ever done, and I know you don't want to really talk about it yet, but this might be my favorite assignment ever. But we'll leave that for another day. A lot of Hoffman news this month, believe it or not. A lot of Hoffman news. I know you have something, too, that you want to share, but I'll go first because I have three and you only have one, I believe.
Well, that's, yeah, you're the man with the homework assignments. So I'm just a slacker in the back of the classroom most of the time.
I met you in a high school classroom. We weren't in the back because we were the two R's, but it's pretty poetic. But I'll bring up two things in the news. You'll bring up yours, and then I'll end with mine. And I'm just going to pick randomly here, but a lot of cool Hoffman stuff in the news, believe it or not. The first thing I think you'll be super interested in, Kyle, I'll ask you this question. On our whole P.S. I Love Hoffman run, what was one of the most surprising films for you? And you can list a couple, because I'm sure you're going to name this one.
Well, I mean, surprising? The first one that comes to mind would be A Late Quartet.
Bingo. On the first guess, you guessed the one I wanted you to guess.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So, A Late Quartet was directed by an Israeli man named Yaron Zilberman. And I remember talking about it on the episode, like, wow, this movie is great. I want to see more from this guy.
Yeah, and he really hadn't done much.
No, but there's a new movie by him, actually, that's hitting a couple of the film festivals. You know, this is film festival season. It's film festival season.
Venice, we had Toronto, and then New York's coming up.
So is TIFF Toronto? Or?
Yeah, the Toronto International Film Festival.
Okay, that's what I thought. He screened his film called Incitement at Toronto. I'm very curious to see it because, again, you and I both love The Late Quartet. This is more, you know, I would say, it's going to sound weird, but Middle Eastern, Israeli. According to the article I'm reading with The Hollywood Reporter, it's a drama that scrutinizes the background of a young Orthodox student who assassinated Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in 1995. So, definitely different from A Late Quartet, but it's certainly an interesting story.
Yeah, that's sounds pretty different. Sounds something that's maybe a more personal story to where he grew up and what he knows.
You know, I love that Israeli stuff though, like, because you know, Munich is one of my favorite films.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
So I just recorded with somebody earlier for High School Slumber Party, and after we recorded, they asked me, like, if you could do any other podcast, what would you do? And then I went on a diatribe that I shouldn't have for about 30 minutes. Where it's like, hey, I don't think about that because I have to edit. But then I thought about it after he left, and I said, there are a couple things I would like to do for sure. And one of them, I haven't seen it done, believe it or not, and it's a super, super, super obvious one. And it pains me to think that Philip Seymour Hoffman never worked with this guy. But I'd love to do a Steven Spielberg podcast. You see the early films, you see the amazing hits, you see where maybe people say was his downfall, which I might not necessarily agree. But, like, I wish our main man, Philip Seymour Hoffman, worked with Spielberg. I thought of it because of Munich, you know. But yeah. Even still, there's so many great films in that podcast.
Did Spielberg produce Twister?
Oh, he might have, actually. He might have. I mean, I wasn't counting producer credit, but he might have.
Yeah, but I think he... you know, I think, I mean, I have a feeling at least they met, you know?
Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. I just wish...
through him, you know, Spielberg is such close friends with J.J. Abrams. I'm sure since Mission Impossible was his first feature film, Spielberg probably visited set and that kind of stuff. So.
And doesn't he seem like a guy who would be in a late Spielberg film, though?
Definitely.
Like, I mean, the poster, just, you know...
I mean, I could see him in, like, a Munich somehow. Or,
oh, yeah.
He nailed the Gunter Bachmann.
I was going to say we saw him in Gunter Bachmann. Okay, so article number two. Are you ready for it, Kyle?
I'm ready.
So a new film is making the film festival rounds, also at Toronto this year, but in some other stuff, called The Capote Tapes.
Oh, very
and
cool.
Capote is played by someone in their feature film debut called Ebs Bruno, I believe. And it's just about more of Capote's life. It's less about In Cold Blood, but it's based on some footage of Capote, and it's getting some good reviews because apparently, like, it splices real life footage with someone being Capote. Gotcha. It doesn't have a release date yet. It doesn't have a wide release, but I'd definitely be curious to check it out because we've seen Hoffman play Capote. We've seen, I think his name was Toby Jones.
Yep, Toby Jones. Like, yeah.
Yeah, play Capote in Infamous, and it's such a iconic voice, right? Like the Capote voice and the Capote acting. And of course, we know that Hoffman won for Capote, so I'm curious to see any portrayal of Capote and how it compares. You're not going to compare it to anything Hoffman does, of course. But, you know, it interests me because he seems like such a fascinating man, Truman Capote.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I mean, what I liked about the movie Capote, you know, Hoffman's Capote, is while it is like a biopic, it was such a specific part of his life, which is refreshing compared to, I mean, and that came all the way back in 2005, I think it won in 2006, or vice versa, or 2004, 2005. But point being that, compared to even the biopics now, they just all feel so similar. And while, I mean, he's an author versus, like, we're getting a lot of rock star movies, It was such a refreshing movie. So I am curious to see what these Capote tapes and just if it's more about his personal life, like what it, just how it differentiates. That's cool. Definitely worth checking out.
Hey, Brian here, cutting into this episode because, well, that movie is not a narrative movie at all. It's actually a documentary. I looked into it some more, and it looks pretty awesome. Still, I agree with everything me and Kyle are saying. We want to learn more about Capote. I still would like to compare our main man, Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance, to the actual footage that has been discovered from Truman Capote. I'm really excited for this documentary, so I just wanted to make that correction here and apologize. Apologize to all you Hoff fans out there for screwing up. I suck at reading, I guess. And I want to apologize to Kyle as well, because I think on this show, I've made fun of his lack of reading, and it's Brian who can't read this time, so apologies, apologies all around. Back to the episode. All right, Kyle, it's your turn to bring something to the table. Show and tell.
Sure. I want to continue my mentioning of Conan O'Brien before, because I looked up the article, at least one of the articles, and it was Variety, and their headline is, "How Conan O'Brien and Other Top Hosts Are Tapping Into the Podcast Revolution." So not necessarily is he being called, you know, like leading the revolution, but just clearly, you know, taking advantage of it, which some people are not, you know, thrilled by, because if he's being associated with a podcast revolution, there's a lot more, other people that have put in the work over the years. And I mean, obviously there are famous people now too. I mean, some of the top ones being Mark Maron and Joe Rogan. Like,
yeah, that's guys. Who I was just going to say. Like, those guys were already somewhat famous, or at least known names in the comedy world before their podcasts. And then they did their podcasts and, like, took it to a new level. And that's, I'm not saying you and I are the ones responsible for the podcast boom. Certainly not.
No, we jumped in when there was, you know, hundreds of thousands of podcasts.
Yes, but people like Joe Rogan and Mark Maron, who you mentioned, those are the real, like, godfathers of podcasting.
Yeah, they paved the way. But it's awesome that Conan is out there, and even, I mean, the only reason I mentioned him before is because he kind of took a summer break, but even in between his episodes, he keeps a very strict format, and they're always right around, like, an hour long, and I'm all for longer podcasts, especially with, you know, people with, you know, these personalities, whether they're comedians, actors, musicians, politicians, just because, I mean, they got a lot to talk about, so I'm all about a longer format. But anyway, but even in his little summer break, he did 6 half-hour episodes every episode with Dana Carvey, which I know I played a couple for you when we were driving back from upstate. So even Mr. O'Brien didn't really take a summer break. But anyway, the main thing I wanted to bring up was because I believe it was on our last little in-between episode that, or maybe 2 ago, that we brought up how Tarantino mentioned he had, like, a little problem with Boogie Nights. And Burt Reynolds' role, and just that whole, you know, of his portrayal of a porn director, and that it was so similar to whichever adult film director that was, and how it wasn't accurate. But, I mean, he and P.T. Anderson are very close friends. And so I just wanted to bring up that there was a discussion between the two of them. And, I mean, you can, I've got an Indie Wire article right here. And there's a video, but it's also on, I think it's on a podcast. Let me see if it says it right here. I think it's called The Director's Cut, I think is the name of the podcast. I mean, we can definitely post this article from IndieWire. But the point being, if you just Google Quentin Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson discussion, you know, like some of the most recent ones will show that they had a talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because, you know, again, they're very good friends, and P.T. Anderson wanted to talk to Quentin Tarantino about it, and supposedly he's seen it in like at least like 5 times or something like that. You know, P.T. Anderson, that is, and absolutely loves it. So it's just kind of him, just so excited to talk about this movie with his friend. And I listened to it at least a week ago, maybe, you know, and it was a fun little, there is a video of it, but I think then there's just audio of it as well. Or maybe it was just audio that I listened to. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, at least they're cool with each other. No harm, no foul there. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not over the film, but I'm so over Tarantino's like arrogance.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth listening to. Cause I think he's definitely someone, if you just read like quotes of him, it just comes off so arrogant. And not that he doesn't come off arrogant in this discussion with P.T. Anderson, but you can at least hear his passion and his knowledge. Like, he just has so much knowledge and passion. Like, there's this one. Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Not yet. I only watched high school film.
There's this, and Philip Seymour Hoffman movies.
Yes.
There's this one specific, you know, just like montage of when, you know, the day is ending, dusk and everything, and the neon lights of like LA back in 1969 are coming on. And it's just something that he, and a lot of these, you know, don't exist anymore. You know, even like, obviously we're familiar as well, you being a New Yorker and me living right across the river, how there's really no neon light signs anymore. It's all LEDs and all that kind of stuff. But it's just like an homage, and it's just something he's had in his head for a long time, and something he finally got to put into an appropriate movie, and just something, just like his love letter in a way to LA and the LA film scene. And just, you know, he's such a film nerd that he has this knowledge. And so I do in the end appreciate that. And he's got an opinion, I mean, definitely about his movies, but he is the creator of those. But yeah, sure. In those moments where, like the article we discussed the last time, reading that, it comes off arrogant, but at the same time, I'm curious if I heard him have a conversation with P.T. Anderson about that, how exactly that would come off. Like, I just want to hear the vocal context of it all.
That's fair, that's fair.
Yeah, I love his movies, like, he's just, but as far as, yeah, as a person, he definitely, obviously, has his opinionated and arrogant moments, but nonetheless, it's not long, I think it's like a half hour, so it's a nice little quick, yeah, I see it right now, I think with an intro and an outro, it's 34 minutes and 30 seconds, so totally worth checking out. Again, if you just Google, you know, P.T. Anderson.
Or Kyle.
Quentin Tarantino.
You could post it to our Facebook page.
Well, that too, yeah.
And just a reminder, guys, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us, well, I guess you'd like on Facebook, but you know what I mean. Follow us on Instagram. We love hearing from you. The Hoff fans have been so great to us, but more importantly, to the memory of the big man, the man we all love, Philip Seymour Hoffman. And again, like, it's been pretty awesome just hearing everyone's thoughts and opinions. And I mean, I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think you like our page and you're like, I'm not a Hoffman fan, you know?
Yeah.
Not a Hoff fan, but still, it's very much appreciated and it's very much loved. I wanted to read something off our Instagram that I thought was funny, if you don't mind, Kyle, if you grant me the permission.
Yes, I do.
You do good.
I do.
We'll get into this later. Clearly, the Godfather himself, Joey Lewandowski, was favoring a certain film this week. Let's see if that one won. Oh, but a certain, how can I put it? A certain Hoffman sibling. I don't think she was too happy with the choice of the Hoff fans last week. So, Philip Seymour Hoffman's sister, who we've talked about on this show before, Every time we put The Talented Mr. Ripley on the vote, she always commented, okay, we've only done it twice, I'm not saying it always, but she always says, tummy, tummy, tummy. And it never wins, and I feel bad. Haw fans out there, vote for The Talented Mr. Ripley next time it's on.
Yeah, I mean, she's excellent at sharing on the remembrance page for her brother, but those other Hoff, and like, you know, maybe those Hoff fans that are for that page that quite possibly don't listen, they gotta be tapped into as well, so we get to cover. I mean, that are just obviously, we'll just have to throw down the gavel and just say, well, to Mr. Ripley, maybe Kyle, we'll do a double feature of Along Came Polly and Talented Mr. Ripley.
Well, Kyle, I bring this up on air. I haven't discussed this with you yet, but I bring this up on air on purpose because after that, and I don't know how we would do it, I don't know if we'd have to go somewhere else to do it, but after that she said, maybe I will watch and cast that one with you when it's picked.
Wow.
So Emily, if you're out there, if you're listening, if the Hoff fans do grant us that awesome privilege, we would love to have you. I'm sorry if I'm speaking for you, Kyle, but I think you agree.
No, yeah, you're more than welcome to speak for me because it would just be such an honor. I love to meet, I mean, obviously, I mean, that would be the closest person to, like, just the relationship you had. I mean, it was fantastic when we got to speak with Amos Poe, but, I mean, to speak with you, his sister, and just hear about him and his craft, and just, I mean, would just love to, and just to sit down and watch a movie with you. That would be such an amazing experience. So,
you know, I have Shuler questions, Kyle. You know I do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. Let's fly to
so
Poland
many
together
questions,
and make a
so
little
many
weekend
questions
out of it. You know,
Emily, if you're listening out there, I don't know if you listen. I don't know if you don't, but I might slide into your DMs and ask about this. So. Let's wait on that, but, you know, hopefully something coming on P.S. I Love Hoffman. That'd be nice. So, Kyle, I saved the worst article for last by accident.
Oh, well, that's not good.
I didn't know, but it's not fun or great. It says, Philip Seymour Hoffman's Old West Village pad sells for $2.57 million. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But he never lived in it.
Oh.
It was just something he bought, like, before his death, but never got to move into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
you know.
Yeah.
Good for whoever bought it. I'm sure it's a nice place if it's in the West Village. It's awesome that he, like, previously signed on to owning it. And apparently this is going to his estate, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. That's gotta be, obviously, you know, good, you know, for his partner and kids and all that.
But who knows, Kyle? We don't know the real estate gossip in New York or whatever's going on here, so it's not fair. But, Kyle, I think now's the time to announce the voting, the results from the Hoff fans from our two previous films. Before we do that, we always do the same thing. I want you to handicap these two films. So we had a Halloween vote this month. And again, you could vote on Facebook, you could vote on Instagram. And it was Red Dragon versus My Boyfriend's Back. What do you think about these two films?
Well, My Boyfriend's Back, I mean, neither film, we get him a whole lot, but I mean, My Boyfriend's Back is very early in his career. I remember, I mean, I've only seen the movie once. I think when, you know, I had seen parts of it when we watched it the first time from, like, when it sure replayed on, like, Saturday afternoon, WB11 or something like that. So I remember his role being a little silly, and then Red Dragon, I mean, he plays like a scumbag reporter, but I, you know, I mean, he has a pretty, you know, couple of good scenes, and then, both movies, he spoiler alert, he dies in them. So, two very ridiculous, crazy deaths, one much more haunting than the other. The scene, I guess the fact that he gets to play with some heavy hitters in Red Dragon with, like, Ralph Fiennes and stuff like that, that's pretty awesome. So, I think I definitely enjoy Red Dragon more.
Well, Kyle, it seems like you'll be in luck, and that Joey Lewandowski, the godfather himself of the Cage Club Podcast Network, will not be, because he was pushing hard for my boyfriend's back, which was the first time we ever had him on a podcast of ours on the original run.
Yes, yes, wow.
But unfortunately, his film did not win, and pretty much a landslide, I guess because it's more well-known. Red Dragon is the winner. So on October 1st, you and I will be sitting down, likely on your couch, but you never know, could be on mine this time. On some couch somewhere, we'll be sitting down and watching Red Dragon. More importantly, my couch, your couch, it doesn't matter. It'll be on all the Hoff fans' couches, because we'll watch it together with you. Thank you so much, Hoff fans, for selecting Red Dragon. It should be interesting, because I haven't seen it since we did this episode on it.
Yeah, me neither, yeah.
So, who knows? Maybe we'll have a good time. Maybe we won't. It'll be interesting. Ralph Fiennes is in that, right? He's like the Red Dragon.
He's in that, and then, oh god, why am I blanking? Her name is also Emily from Punch Drunk Love. And,
oh, she's in it?
And,
oh, yeah.
And Synecdoche.
Yeah, her, that lady.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out by the time the podcast comes on. So, Kyle, Foodie Films, I think, is going to be really fun. I don't know if you're going to mention it, but you and I, and other people, but you and I recently had a good foodie and drinky trip, if you will. So I hope you mention it in the intro and the exit at some point, hopefully. Or do you have an exit? You don't think you have an exit, right?
No, don't have an outro, but definitely in my cold open in the next episode I release, which should, this will come out before then, but nonetheless, it will be discussed about. So yeah, it was a great food and drink experience, and just a lot more fun conversations. Most recently with Jenna Rosen, the marketing and events manager for Time Out Market in Dumbo, Brooklyn. So some more Time Out Market family members from Joao Sapita, probably not getting that name correct again, the creator of the Time Out Market. But yeah, Jenna is just a great person that has put me in contact with a lot of other great people, and we had a really fun conversation, so check that out.
Yeah, it definitely was a fun conversation. You just made me think of this, but recently, again, someone we've mentioned way too much on this episode, but Joey Lewandowski, was on my show, High School Slumber Party, for an episode on an indie film called Never Going Back, and we both realized that this film is a huge foodie film.
Yeah.
So, you should add it to your list, because
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah, it's the one. It's the water park, right?
No, that's The Way, Way Back, which he was also on. This film was Never Going Back. But I don't mind you mention it. Those were two films we recently did on High School Slumber Party. So The Way, Way Back has, like, that one's written by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash. Sorry, Jim Rash. But, yeah, that was a cool film, too. But before that, he was on this film called Never Going Back. Small indie film. I'd be surprised if you saw it. But there's so many foodie scenes in that film that I think it qualifies. They're about two girls, two high school dropouts who work at a diner.
Totally qualifies. If you work at a food or drink establishment, that is a check. You're in.
But there's a major scene, too, at like a burger joint. Like one of the roommates works there. And there's a lot of food scenes. There's a lot of interesting stuff. So I don't know if you'll like the film. I think you will. But I know you'll definitely consider it a foodie film after watching it. That's for sure. Just spoiler alert, there's a scene where they're very much on drugs at this point. Mm. And they're very hungry. And they see, I think they're, I don't want to say they're banana pancakes, but they're at the very least pancakes. I imagine them as banana pancakes, but it's a very, like, slow motion Michael Bolton song. You know, I'm not going to do justice to it now, but it's like, the song is called something like How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? You know that song by Michael Bolton?
Not a big, I'm not well versed on Michael Bolton.
You've heard,
I
like,
apologize.
You've heard,
oh no, I'm
song.
Sure I've heard it. Yeah.
Yeah, once you're like, how am I supposed to live without you? Whatever. Typical Michael Bolton stuff. It's a great scene. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. But we did that recently, and we're doing some other great stuff on High School Slumber Party. We've entered our sophomore year. I'm sure you'll be on a couple of sophomore year episodes. I guess I'll tease it now, but we'll be in the midst of it in our next episodes. But I'm doing a Women in Horror series, a couple films that are either directed by women or starring women in horror. That'll be my High School Slumber Party Halloween thing. I don't know what cool things you have planned for Halloween, Kyle, but I know, as you mentioned, Foodie Films are going to have an awesome, awesome Thanksgiving-ish special, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yes, for sure.
All right, Kyle, so as we always say, you know, like us on social media, but don't forget to subscribe and listen to us on Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. But Kyle, you always get that last word, and I love it every time.
Stay on cool, Haw fans.
Sex a thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along.